Amundsen plays it into Galdames, who held him off and got it forward to Whiting. He'll run at the defense now. Linnaeus Whiting still going. Pokes a good ball wide to Mock. Mock to the top of the 18. In for Whiting. He's in. It's two. Whiting will take it quickly. Silas Hess on the chest in the net. 1-0 Bemidji, and it is Silas Hess with an absolutely fabulous goal. Christopher's throw, Morin chesting down at the corner of the 18. Excellent turn away from Grundstrom and away from another challenge. With a cross, here's Schuschman, 1-0 Bemidji! Can Bemidji find a breakthrough? Morin will be the target here. Schuschman on the free kick, she goes toward goal, it's a good one, and it's in off the bar! Strike from the heavens! And here we go. The second half of the Section 8A final is underway. Drong will go out left, looking for Minkinen, who again was dangerous down that left-hand side in the first half, and he will drive away, trying to play one forward. It pings around off a couple of people. Linesman is flagging all the way back in the defensive end of the field, and he said there was one that came off a hand in there, and it did come off of one of the Lumberjacks' hands, and it's a free kick. It may have pinged off of Silas Hess's hand there. The ball was being played around, so an early free kick left of center down the far touchline for St. Cloud Cathedral. And a good opportunity to play one in here. Free kick coming. Here it comes into the 18. Skimmed on and then headed away by Silas Hess out of the 18. All the way to Blotch. He'll fire one on the ground toward the top of the 18 where Sims is able to turn and partially clear it. Played back down by Lee and then fired away again by the Lumberjacks. Headed forward now by Blotch, who got barreled into. And Silas Hess is on it, the scorer of the opening goal for the Lumberjacks. To the left-hand side for Mikalicek, looking down the near line for Whiting, who scored the second goal. From Ethan Mock, who's now on it at midfield, playing backward. Silas Hess, he'll switch it out wide for James Sims. Let's see how much possession Bemidji can get here in the second half with a 2-0 lead. Perfect position for a team that loves to possess to be in. Mikalicek trying to poke it out wide for Helwig as he's popped up on the right-hand side now. The two wingers out there. Here's the cross. Whiting can't get there. Still a chance for Galdames. He'll get there in front of the goalkeeper, Thibault. Tries to keep it in off the end line. Linesman is flagging, and it is out for a goal kick. Galdames had all the space in the world to get a touch on it, and he let it run out for a goal kick with Thibault on his back. The goalkeeper. Strange sequence there. Galdames just not quite aware of his surroundings enough, and then did not control it. Big chance gone here in the 42nd minute for the Lumberjacks. Goal kick quickly taken, and here goes Austin Howard, driving down the left-hand side, playing it off of the feet of Silas Hess. Back into the center to Drong, and he'll play one square. He's able to find a little bit of help now from Lee. Forward on the ground to Amundsen. Amundsen turning, squaring to Drong. A lot of space, 35 yards from goal. He'll drive one on the left foot, and it trickles harmlessly wide of Loxo's goal. For a goal kick. Bemidji will be pretty content with those if it stays like that. Here in the second half with a 2-0 lead. Goal kick coming up. But much like in the girls' semifinal on Tuesday at Sartell, they had a 1-0 lead. Even with a 2-0 lead, a dangerous lead as many like to call it, scoreboard watching becomes pretty commonplace and pretty understandable. In a second half of a game like this. Cleared upfield by Thorsgaard down the near touchline. Whiting not able to get to it on the run. And it's out for a Crusader throw. The key for St. Cloud Cathedral is going to be trying to find those pockets of space in the 18 that they found at times in the first half, as that was where they were most dangerous despite not getting any shots on them. As Bemidji is now on a free kick. Brock Mikalicek spilled over in defense. And a chance now for the Jacks to play one out on their side of midfield. It'll be Silas Hess who will drop deep to take this one, and he'll just square it across to his twin brother, Ben Hess, in the center of the defense. Looking forward, playing a great ball on the ground forward to Galdames, who cannot get control of it, but did keep it going along toward Whiting, who pokes it along as well, and Howard able to clear up field. Hess unable to pull it into himself. Silas played to the near side, Winfelt turning, trying to clear it up the line, and he was running toward the line as he did so. And that's a bad combination if you're trying to keep one in play. Throw in Jacks right in front of the Crusader students. At the near touchline. Throw goes down the line. Mock trying to control it. Looking to turn. Now play down the line. And it's blocked. And it comes back to Galdames, who has some space now to run into the middle of the field. Squares one back for Luke Hess, who will stride forward. 35 yards from goal. Going to the far side of the field. Playing wide to Helwig. Helwig will turn and play backward to Sims. Patience from Bemidji in attack as Sims will cross to the top of the 18. It gets through. Mock trying to chest control it onto Silas Hess, and his left-footed effort is an easy catch for Thibault. And it looked like it came off Mock's hand as he was trying to play it, and Luke Anderson is furious that there was no handball, and he had a pretty good argument as Mock badly miscontrolled it off his chest but did then get control, and it looked like it was from the hand. And then Silas Hess couldn't get a good effort on the left foot. Whiting now with a driving run as he wins it back. Driving to the right side of the 18 with a cross and wins another corner for Bemidji. Their sixth. Lot of pressure from the wings from the Lumberjacks, as expected. As Rick Towert felt that was where this team could really cut apart this Crusaders defense. And he's been right about that. And that's what Logan Larson is counting on in the second game tonight between Bemidji and East Grand Forks on the girls' side. He wants a lot of that same kind of wing play. Luke Hess to take this corner from the far side. It'll be an outswinger. It's a low one to the near post. It bounces through, and Silas Hess puts it over inside the six, and he could not keep it down on the right foot. Put it right up and over on a bouncer that came into him. Wow. A fraction away from being at 3-0. Well, a fraction in terms of distance away. But boy, was that high and over from Silas Hess, who just could not keep it down. Maybe a bit surprised that it bounced through a couple Crusader defenders, and that left Jack Thibault furious in goal. Other way, here's Minkinen playing one forward for Thibault for Tetralt, and in front goes James Sims to cut it out. Silas Hess now playing backward near side. Here's Thorsgaard. He'll take a heavy touch wide, and now takes the touch to control, fires up the line, and plays it right into the defender Winfelt. Into the center of the field, Torborg, trying to turn off of it, gets away from the challenge of Silas Hess. 30 yards from goal, driving to the top of the 18, playing one into Tetralt, poked away from behind, barely by Ben Hess, and then cleared out for a throw-in by the Lumberjacks here in the 47th minute of a 2-0 game. But Bemidji really could be 3-0 up. Silas Hess with a great opportunity. Luke Hess had to be careful there, trying to control a bouncer with the chest as he got down, put the arms at his sides, and did have good control. And it's cleared away, and it took a slight deflection off a Crusader, so it will be a Bemidji throw. Rick, congratulations on the win. Just your fourth win against Moorhead in over 30 tries, and it felt like you guys took some of the lessons from Thursday and applied them in a really great way here today.
We controlled the play, especially the first half. We had a great first half and a good second half. We got up 2-0, they changed their formation, we changed our formation, and we panicked.
It got sloppy, and the positioning certainly seemed like it got a little bit panicked by the end of the game as well. Is the lesson there to the defense, listen, let's drop a little bit deeper?
Well, yeah, we dropped in and played a three. We basically kept our formation of a 3-5-2, but we dropped two center mids back and had them play more right in front, so it was more like a 3-2 and then two, or another three and then one. We dropped just a single forward. And it was kind of a newer formation. It took them some time to adjust to it, and just decision making. You know, we haven't found ourselves in many games where we've been needing to kill the clock, and that's obviously a conversation piece. But what do we need to do in the last third of the ball? We're playing little touch balls out wide rather than just, you know, getting the ball out of our end.
But prior to that, it was a great team-wide reply to the way the game started. Certainly not an ideal opening 13, 15 minutes there, but then a lot of quality and character from the team. They got on the ball, they started possessing, and then it was a sweet strike from Ben Hess to put you in front.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have to give Adam a lot of credit. He kept us in it. There were a couple of big saves he had to make in the first 10 minutes of that game because they were taking it to us a little bit, and then the tide turned, and then we got that ball from Ben. Gave us a little lift, and we finished strong in that half.
A game like this can very, very easily get out of control with the way things went there at the end of the first half. Were you pleased that your team kept their composure and kept playing?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's something that we preach, something that we say is you know, in the end, it's the life lesson stuff. How do you face adversity when things don't go your way? How do you respond? And those are the things that we stress and demand. So I was real pleased with how they responded. And I think it took a toll because in the second half, Moorhead played a much less physical game. I'm sure their coach had a conversation with them at halftime, and it took them out of kind of the rhythm they had tried to bump us and you know, be physical.
So you've gotten through the really daunting end of the week that you had here, but it was an exciting one too. You learn lessons Thursday, you start applying them, and you get a big win here on Saturday. What does this mean as far as a catalyst going forward for the rest of the season?
Well, I think it's a great a great building block. Now we have a couple of games coming forward against some opponents that we are fairly familiar with. They're conference opponents. We've already played Detroit Lakes once. We feel good going into these games. And it gives us a chance to rest a couple of the guys that played extensive minutes. A couple of them are pretty knocked right now.
Ben Hess comes to mind, definitely.
Yeah, Ben is definitely, Hawken wasn't 100% today. And it'll give us a chance to get some of those other guys some time on the field and allow us to get refocused and basically repaired in time for Tuesday or Monday's contest on the 18th against Cathedral.
Terrific win to have here on Saturday to close out the week. Enjoy the rest, Rick, and we'll talk to you on Monday. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Joel.